Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
You know what that music means. God, I miss Famous Friends. But unfortunately, we're not paying the royalties on that.
I will sing that with Jesse.
Ah, duet! I love it! Well, I don't know how Brian Bulaga will feel about that, but nevertheless, he joins us now. Are you a good singer? Do you have a good singing voice?
Not really.
What about you and Tausch doing a duet, and Jesse plays the piano in accompaniment?
I'm in. Yeah, I'll do that.
Jesse?
I mean, I'll figure it out. I think it's more up to these two fellas.
What do you mean figure it out? What do you mean you figure it out?
Tausch, I'm not a jukebox. I don't just know how to play every song that's ever existed. There's, like, a process.
You know the
learning
but you
the
can
song.
Hold up. You can read music. You can play the keyboard. You get the music from wherever, whoever wrote this, and you play it. It's like, I can read Shakespeare, but I can't read Nietzsche? Like, you can either read or you can't. Like, what the hell are we talking about here?
I would just like to take this opportunity to compliment you, Jesse.
Read music, thanks. Jesse? Yes. I can't. I don't know what an eighth of a note, and I don't know what that means on the keyboard. I don't know. It's like, you might as well splatter my brain. I can't get my head wrapped around it. You can read it.
Yeah,
I can't.
I can. I'm not saying I won't be able to figure it out. I'm saying we can't do it like when we're done here in 30 minutes. Like,
Do you think we do things right away?
We never do things right away around here. All right. I'm sorry. This
Brian.
Is yeah. This is the, again. This
Start
is my.
Over.
I thought it was a good idea. And I think it would be fun. He is our famous friend. He is Brian Bulaga. Brian, music notwithstanding, I need your help with something. Look, you know ball. If we were to power rank the people who know ball on this panel, I would come in very far behind the two former greats. Right tackles. You will someday be joining Tausch in the Packers Hall of Fame. Youngest player ever to start a Super Bowl. So I understand. You guys, there's a grand canyon between your football knowledge and mine.
This is where Brian, he wants us to say, oh, Jason,
No, I really don't. I really don't.
You understand?
No, I really don't.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Jason.
Woo!
Okay.
So here's the thing. When I look at Rashawn Gary with my less trained eye, I'm not seeing it. I understand he's a first-round pick. I understand he was the number one recruit in coming out of high school. I understand that they gave him a $96 million contract. I understand all those other things. When I watch him, I don't see a terrible player. Okay, let me be clear. I don't see a guy who stinks. I've seen enough guys that stink to say, this guy stinks. I don't see that. I do see a guy that sometimes I wasn't sure about his efforts. Right? I saw times where people ran a lot faster after the ball carrier than him. I see a lack of production. I see a disparity between the number of pressures that Goody says he had and the number of pressures that the Packers' own website has for him. And I look and I go, what am I not seeing that Brian Gutekunst is, that he is talking in some ways as if they will figure out a way to have him back, but not at a $28 million cap number? When you look at his body of work from last season, what do you see in Rashawn Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I think I see what everyone else sees, and that is major inconsistencies in output. Like, that to me is what, when I watch him play, that's what I see. And, you know, he started off the season, it was like, you saw the way he started, and it was like, man, this could be like a kind of a resurgence and a turnaround year. He started off hot. Like, let's just call it what it is. He was very active. He was He was getting sacks. He was getting pressures, and he was very involved in the run game. And he looked really good. And then about from week, if I had to say, what was it, maybe week seven on, it just kind of, the production just was gone. Like it wasn't there. I don't know what. And then Enagbare stepped up his game, and his production went up, and Rashawn's went down. So, you know, the things about effort, and, you know, chasing the ball carrier, I don't really, like, you saw some things. I think, what game was it? Was it the Baltimore game that a couple things that stood out? You're like, okay, that doesn't look normal like that. And maybe that was the entire defense, but you don't normally see that from your guys that are almost on $100 million contracts. But I don't really want to get into effort because I can't say if he was giving full effort next because I'm not him. Right, like I'm not him, so I don't know if it wasn't. All I can talk about is the production and what the numbers say, and I don't know what number Goody gave for pressures. I don't know what number that could have been.
He said 60, and then on the Packers stats that they use from Next Gen, 48. So
yeah,
okay.
I mean we have a there's a disparity there. I guess if pass rushers are getting paid only to get pressures, there's a lot of guys that should be getting paid like $21 million a year or something like that, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, the finished product has to be there too, and the production in the run game and the impact you make on that, right? Like, there has all those things have to tie in to have a cap number of $28 million and be kept on the roster or whatever it may be, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to be able to work out to keep him, right? Like, I don't know what that looks like because it sounds like there's a lot of contracts that they need to figure that out with, right? Like, it seems like there's quite a few of those that they need to figure out to keep a guy on the roster, and I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I don't know how possible that is. Guys are willing to play ball with that. Agents are willing to play ball with that. Like, it's not always that simple. But I know this, like, that defensive end position, obviously you have Micah Parsons, and he's obviously, I mean, there's not enough things you could say about him that are positive, and how he works, and his effort, and his technique, and how he actually impacts the quarterback, and the timing of routes, and how he does everything. He's good in the run. He's good in the pass. He's good leadership. Like, he's everything, right? But at that defensive end position, you're most likely losing Enagbare. He's gone, right? Like just call it what it is. Someone's going to pay him some good money to go rush the passer. That's my opinion.
Would you rather take whatever money you can save by moving on from Rashawn Gary? Because, again, if you were to release him, not only would you save cap money this year, but if you really wanted to do it, you could save even more by making it a post-June 1 cut and pushing some of the charges into next year. I don't know enough about where their cap is, whether that would be smart or not. But would you rather take the money that you could spend on keeping Rashawn Gary and pay J.J. Enagbare? Or do you think that he's an ascending player. This would be a second contract for him. And he doesn't have enough production where you would think he would get a ridiculous amount of interest on the open market. Would you rather use that money on him? Or would you rather keep a guy that you're questioning why his production fell off the table the last 10 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I don't know what Enagbare's market will be. It's always
I don't either.
Like guys like that. It always seems like guys like that that show good flashes and good production throughout, and especially as the season moves on, right, as it gets later and the playoff hunt starts to come on and guys start to play better, they always end up doing really well in the market, especially from a pass rusher standpoint, right? Like, I mean, it's that's a very specific position that every team wants. They want a guy that can come in on second and third down, that could go get after the quarterback and things like that. But if you had the chance to re-sign Enagbare for a price that I don't know what pass rushers are even getting these days. I know Myles Garrett gets like 40 something, and Micah's at 40 something. So, like, I know that's like the highest end. but I don't know what those mid-tier guys are getting, right? Like, I don't know what that is. Is that 15? Is it 4? Is it 10? Is it 11? Is it 12? I don't know.
Well, Khalil Mack, I think, got 18, just to give you a kind of reference point. He older guy, but still productive. That, and I don't want to call him mid, but at this point, that's kind of where he's at. So I would say you're probably in the ballpark.
Yeah, and Kingsley Adigbari had 2 sacks last season. Like, and we all agree that he – no, we all agree.
Look at him. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think people look at
his impact. Yeah. He's an impactful player. He did not get as much work. I mean, he took reps at the end of the year from Rashawn Gary. That
he
wasn't
did.
Rashawn being a low snap count guy. That
right?
was a, hey, we want Adigbari out there. And I told you, he made that critical play in that Bears – the only Bears win we had this year. He made the critical play on third down.
Mm-hmm.
That saved us. He's not just a pass rush guy. He should get better. And I'm with Brian. I want him on this team. And if you let Rashawn Gary go, you're putting all your eggs in the LVN basket and then they're drafting somebody young. This is a team you want to win now and you want urgency and you're a Super Bowl roster. We heard it from Goody again. You got to have guys that are ready to produce now, not next year. Adigbari is one of those guys. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm 100% with you. Like, if you release Gary, I think you have – that's like a must bring back. Like, you have to find a way to bring him back. And whether that's a incentive-based – you know, it's a good contract. I'm not saying give him nothing, but it's a good contract. Then he can earn incentives based on how he, you know, performs. If he gets sacks, he gets way more money. Like, that's – to me – and because you said he had 2 sacks last year, but – you would say his reps were not where they needed to be early on in the season, and then they picked up late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a really big impact for that defense later on in the season. So you would give him a good contract and say, hey, you can earn up to X amount if you get this many sacks, because that's what – or whatever it may be. I don't know. But it all depends on what his market looks like, and I think it's going to be a good market. I think he'll have a good market. I do. I it's pass rushers – good DBs, good offensive linemen, they always find their way to have a good market when mm-hmm. free agency opens. It just always works out that way. But $28 million cap hit for Rashawn, I just
can't have.
There's can't you just can't. It's just not going to work that way.
Nope.
Well, they have to figure out what LVN is. I don't expect them to give him the fifth-year option, which I think the deadline's the first week of May. So they've got a lot of decisions that they're going to have to make at a position where they're not deep already. And whether Sorrell and Colin Oliver raise their games. We got,
I like Sorrell.
I know you do.
I like Sorrell.
I know
make
you do.
They make a good boot.
All right, so Brian, I want to apologize in advance because we're going to take a break, and you're going to have to, endure something that has become, it's become a little controversial in these last 2 days.
Hey, Brian, do you think that Jason's a huge WWE fan? Like a wrestling
guy? I never said I was. Hold up
and let Brian answer. Brian?
Do I think he is?
I
it wouldn't be my first guess that I think he's a huge WWE fan. It wouldn't
You'd be
like
right.
my first guess. Yeah.
So I've drawn some criticism for not knowing the signature phrase. I did know the sound he loves to make. Ric Flair, woo! That I knew.
Oh.
I did not know about, and maybe you knew, because you look like a big WWE guy. That he's a
My kids love it. I will say that they absolutely love it.
Okay,
they love it.
But do they know that Ric Flair?
I kind of want Brian to read the Ric Flair. See if he knows any better than you. Well, you're 4 days in now. You probably got it figured out.
No, I don't think so. Ric Flair, as you may know, is a limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing son of a gun, Brian. Woo!
Yep.
And the good news is that Ric Flair, that same Ric Flair, is coming to Milwaukee March 27th at the Riverside Theater to join our buddy Thanasis Antetokounmpo for Thanalysis Live with the WWE Hall of Famer and global icon himself, Ric Flair. This isn't a cameo. This isn't some five-minute interview. This is a full live show. And say it with me. Woo! High energy, unfiltered storytelling, behind-the-scenes moments that you've never heard about. And if you know Thanasis, you know he's going to bring the juice. Energy, laughs, surprises. And when Ric Flair grabs a microphone, you know that anything can happen. Tickets are limited, so don't wait. Lock yours in right now at TALiveShow.com. That's TALiveShow.com. Thanasis Live, March 27th at the Riverside Theater, presented by Gruber Law Offices and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Woo! More Brian Bulaga. Woo! Next. I gotta go get a lozenge. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I've got some famous friends. No, not yet. Not ready. We need to get Jesse to learn the music. Brian Bulaga continues with us on Wildy and Tausch. Goody speaking in Indianapolis yesterday in multiple sessions. Some interesting tidbits, including using the word absolutely when he was asked about Josh Jacobs being the team's number one running back next season.
You buy that? Do we buy that? Because Aaron Jones, was that absolutely, or what was the word with Aaron Jones?
Yeah, no, the word was absolutely. Now, again, that I think, you know, he was asked when it came to Aaron Jones last, or 2 years ago, or whatever that was, going into the 24 season. Yeah, do you expect Aaron Jones to be back next season? And he said, yeah, absolutely. Now, the question that was asked, which, if you want to parse words, which Tausch, as you point out frequently, I've been known to do.
You love.
He was saying.
Nothing. You are the Ric Flair of word parsing.
Woo! If you want to be Parsi, yeah, he absolutely expected him to be back. The question was phrased based on the transcript I was sent by my wonderful fellow beat writers. He was asked, will Josh Jacobs be the number one running back next season? And then he said, absolutely. So there's a little bit of nuance there. But I think when he said what he did about Aaron Jones, I think he understood that that might have been a little bit misleading. So I was a little surprised that he used that same phrase. The reason I bring this up, Brian, is you and I have talked about this here. We've talked about it on Green Bay Game Day, on Uncle Homer's show. I'm a Josh Jacobs guy. I understand he's 29 years old, and he's getting into the danger zone, Kenny Loggins, when it comes to the Packers roster. But and his season was not what he wanted it to be. Played hurt, which some guys don't do. Do you want him to be the number one running back? Do you want him on that line? Do you need him on that line?
Yeah, I love Jacobs. I think he's everything he is for the locker room. I think as a player, I think he's fantastic. And I think the season he had, a lot of that contributes to the way the offensive line played, which was very poor up front in the run game all season. It just wasn't good enough up front all season. So you could, if you want to say it's his age or it was the injuries, well, you could say the injuries hampered it. Sure, yes, you could say that he got beat up a little bit, but he played. So, like, he played the games. Like, he could, that's the end of the day. But you got to look at what was going on up front. Up front was not good from a run-blocking standpoint, so it's hard to blame a back that the year prior showed you great production, and over his career has shown great production. When all of a sudden a year takes a step back, but you got to look into what caused that. And I truly believe that was up front, inconsistencies up front. So if he's able to come back, if like obviously the numbers work out, again, I don't know if the target is the Super Bowl MVP, if that's the guy that people would be going to look to get. Mm-hmm. Say it's not the Super Bowl MVP, right? Walker, we're not looking, then yes, Jacobs has to be back. He has to be your running back next year. There's no doubt. I mean, I don't see another scenario where there's like, I like the backup guys right now. I like the number two back and three back that we have. I think they're good players. I don't think that they're number one backs.
Need a home run hitter. It can't just be 4 or 5 yards. We need somebody that's going to take it to the house and threaten defenses that they can't sit in cover two, stay back, and try to keep everything in front, because they know even if Jacobs or somebody busts one, it'll be a nice 8 or 10 yard run. They'll live with that. They're going to have a harder time if you're gashing and having the opportunity to bust. And I don't know if we got that guy on our roster right now.
I mean, Jacobs, I don't think Jacobs was ever mistaken for like a home run hitter type of back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that was ever his MO as a back. Not even when he first got into
it. I think early in his career he had more, but yeah, you're right. He was a downhill, hard nosed. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're looking at the home run hitters that were like Aaron Jones. Like, that's what Aaron mm-hmm. would do. Aaron would be able to bust a run, get outside, and scamper for 50 yards and make it work, right? Like, that's not really Jacobs' game. And the way our run game is right now and the way we're deploying it, like, you're not going to hit too many home runs running duo. Like, I hate to tell you. Like, it's just the way the run game is, like, good you're point. Not hitting home runs running duo. And power, like those aren't home run type plays. Like the ones that hit and get are outside zone stretch plays that end up cutting back and there's no one there and he beats one guy on the backside and then he scampers into the secondary. Like that's or you get around the edge or you do things like that. Like running duo and power and double and pulling your guard and tackle, like You're not getting 30, 40 yard a crack on those. It's just not going to happen. That is an intentional 5 yards, 4 yards, methodical mm-hmm. type run game. And that's yep. just what that's what that style is.
So, all right. So I want to play something for you because this dovetails beautifully with what you were saying about the issues up front. And again, I'm not here to blow sunshine up either one of your hoodies, but the fact of the matter is you guys both have mentioned this multiple times over the last year and a half, whatever. The loss to the Eagles left a mark. And it was clear to both of you, and to me to a smaller degree, that they wanted to do something different with their offensive line as a result.
Yep, and quick question before you set this up. Brian, okay. Did Goody overreact to that one game? Because that O-line, with Josh Myers leading it and Elton at left guard, and obviously they were going to make some changes, but they rebooted a bunch. Did Goody overreact to that one playoff loss where we did get bullied, no doubt about it?
Yeah, we got bullied, no doubt. But Elton also left the game after what, a series?
Yeah, like four plays, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was musical chairs with guys that have not played any snaps in that guard, and then it just turned into a disaster. So,
poor
like,
Travis Glover.
Yeah.
But then he overhauled the whole thing, right?
Yes, and my response is I think it was a little bit of a too much of a knee-jerk reaction
mm-hmm.
to the whole thing. I think it was a little bit too knee-jerk. And listen, no, you don't want to watch a playoff game where you get beat up front, and like, and I get it, like, you wanna, but to overhaul the entire thing over one game when your offense was built around the run game the entire season and it was really good, it's just kind of like, I you know, to reshape and go, yeah, don't want that anymore, we want to go to this. Yeah, just maybe a little bit too knee-jerk of a reaction.
So that makes what he, because remember, they also lost Josh Myers in that game as well. He was carted off in Philadelphia. They were one step away from having LaTroy Guyon have to play guard like you guys did in the NFC Championship game in 16.
Yep.
Good old Gooch. So Goody was asked during the podium time with all the reporters, not just Wisconsin folks, about the offensive line. And all of us thought this was a very interesting response. Here is Goody yesterday about the offensive line.
I think I come out of 2024, I just thought we were getting pushed around a little bit more than I wanted to. And again, I think all 32 teams here covet big guys who can move, right? Because they're the hardest guys to find. And then so again, it was natural that we added that.
Is that something you'd like to keep looking at for this offseason as well?
Yeah, all the time.
So he thought they got pushed around, but he does say in there, and you're an example of this, big guys that can move. How well did they move? Because part of the whole idea is getting movement in a system that you played in, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, so he answered that two ways. Like, he answered that in both directions. Right? Like, I didn't like the way we got pushed around, even though our back ran for like 1,100 yards or 12, whatever he ran for last year.
1,329.
Which was really
1,300
good,
right? After contact.
Almost, that, yes, but a lot.
Or that. And then, so he didn't like that they got pushed around in the playoff game, but then he wants big guys that move and that are athletic and that can run. And that it's a little bit of a it's contradicting, because if you bring in guys that are 6'6", 330-plus pounds and are just mass movers, right, and they just go straight.
Aaron Banks.
It doesn't really give you the versatility to run the scheme that Matt runs. And then also there's going to be something that suffers as well, and that's the pass protection. Like, there's certain things that come along with that, right? So say, okay, yeah, we want one giant human being on our line, but we're going to keep the rest of it kind of the same, and we're going to set the run game. This guy's going to be our tempo getter for the run game. He's going to be the focus. Okay, but the rest of the guys can't all look the exact same. They all can't. You can't then start molding it around that, because if you want to be able to throw the football and do those types of things and have that type of pass protection that Matt runs, and have the run game that initially Matt had, they can't be all the same exact guy that you're claiming, oh, we got pushed around.
So they
got
to be on the same page, right? Matt and Brian got to be on the same page.
You would think that those are conversations that are had. At least I would think so.
They better be, right?
That, like, hey, that, like, there's a body type that – is that's required, right? Like, there's a body
conducive.
Like, if you want if you want to get a certain type of player, one guy that you think is your centerpiece for the run game, a guard that's kind of like, you look at the I hate to say the Eagles O-line, because those guys all move extremely well. Like, they're all like the Lane Johnsons and Mailatas and Dickerson. Like, those guys are athletic, like very athletic. So, like,
they didn't have a very good year this year either.
No. Well, Lane Johnson goes out and the whole thing kind of falls apart, right? I mean, it's just you can't run the ball as well because you can't pass protect. Like, everything kind of spirals out of control. But that year that they got pushed around, that the Eagles won it, they didn't have, like, any injuries. Those dudes were fresh. They were flying around the ball. They were running zone. They were running but you're – if that's what you want to design it after, like, there's not many guys like that in the NFL that are 330, 40 pounds and run like deer. Like, they're just not – they're not out there. Like, it's not a common thing. Like, it's not normal. Like, I remember, like, I always go back to it, like, the Saints offensive line, when Drew Brees with Jari and Carl Nix, like, those guys were absolutely enormous human beings, right? And their job was to run inside zone, which they did really well. And then they were the stable part of the pocket where Drew Brees was just able to stand back there like 4 or 5 yards behind those guys. The tackles, I always felt like they got beat, but they were just running guys super high and wide to try to create a perfect baseball plate. And those two guys just stood still and block guys because they were so enormous. They weren't asked to get out and run zone and things like they were power players. But this offense that Matt runs is not like that offense. And if you're going to change this offense to be like that offense, then it's the personnel everywhere that has to change for that. And Jordan Love is Brian. Not the type of quarterback that just sits in the pocket like Drew Brees does. Jordan Love is not that type of quarterback. Right. Jordan Love learned from Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers was not the quarterback that just sits still and he manipulates the pocket. He likes to move around. He likes to do things. It's not the same. That was my doorbell. It's
like
loud.
Yeah.
And who's that at the door?
I don't know. It's a good question.
James Campen, what are you doing here?
But
now Campy's up there grinding. So Blue, before we let you go, I guess you just went through and I think you examined it and talked the Drew Brees part. What should Goody be looking for now that we know the skill sets of Jordan Love and where we're at running the football and not good enough? What should he? We know what we are, or we know what Matt LaFleur wants this offense to be. What type of O-lineman should he be going after?
I mean, I think you look at who he drafted right off the get. He drafted Elton right off the – you know, you draft Elton Matt's first year. That
he's gone.
Profile. Well, I know.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm just talking about that player profile. Or if you're going to go out and try to get free agents, like that type of guy that, hey, like how it used to be was they always drafted tackles. They drafted tackles, and then they were able to move them into and like, hey, he played tackle in college, but he's got a guard, more of a guard profile. That's how we're going to do this. Like, that's where I would be looking to do. And when you looked at the guys that, like Elton, for example, is a perfect example of that tackle profile, could play tackle, but man, he moved into guard, and it was like
play everywhere.
It was fantastic. And Goody always talks about he wants versatility. That's great. But if you draft 6'6", 330, 40, there's one position those guys are playing in the NFL. There's one position. And that's going to be guard. So, and they're going to
and Brian,
only one.
You bring that up. And why I asked it is because it feels like we're cross-contaminating what the Goody model has been, because you have Banks is stuck. Banks is going to play where Banks plays. Belton going to be Belton. Those guys aren't Elton Jenkins types.
Belton
gonna Jordan Belton. Morgan's an Elton Jenkins type. Zach Tom's an Elton Jenkins type. Mm-hmm. So now we got two types of different guys, and we're almost, it's like, we'll just see what works. Well, that's great if you can mix the whole pot together and get it, but that's why I'm just wondering if he's looking at it saying, this is the type I want, which way is he going? Because he just spent a lot of money on a different body type and drafted a guy with a different body type than the ideal that he drafted as one of his first picks was Elton Jenkins.
Yeah. No, I think, and this is just me, I think they're going to – but then he drafts Jordan Morgan that is more of a – kind of the way Ted used to draft guys that were tackles. They're built a little bit different.
They figure it out. Better figure it out this year.
Yeah. But I think that you listen to that clip, I think he's going to continue down the same path that you've seen. I think he continue to try to get bigger. That's just my opinion. That's what it appears to me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just being honest. I don't see him kind of going back to the Ted way of doing it, where you draft a guy, and like if he would have said, "Well, Ted loved versatility." Well, yeah, sure, yeah, maybe he did. But Ted's deal was, I'm drafting guys for certain positions. Like, I'm drafting them to play a position. I'm not drafting them to be a guard and a tackle sometimes. And, well, no. Ted drafted guys to play positions, and it was that's what it was. So I think it's going to continue down the same path where he's going to get bigger, continue to draft bigger. I think you never know what's going to happen in this draft with depending on where they land and, you know, with how they – the comp picks and what they get. I don't – you know. But there may be another tackle drafted early-ish based on not knowing how Jordan Morgan's going to perform, right? And what that body type looks like, I think it's going to continue down the same trend as we've seen from free agency and last draft.
All right,
I would argue that the model of left tackles everywhere, figure out where you can fit them, has worked very, very well for the G&G. And going away from that, give me athletes, and I'll figure the rest of it out. Yeah. That's how I would look at it, and I think that's where you're at too, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at.
You guys are right, but again, and we don't have time to get into this. We'll have to save it for next week, so write this down, Jesse. Is there a lack of connectivity between what the GM thinks they need and what the coaches want to do when it comes to that? Because that's something that, you know, if we're going to talk about how they all got extensions, you would hope that they're all on the same page in terms of what their vision is for what the offensive line looks like, how they utilize. There was a point yesterday where Goody said he would like to have seen Matthew Golden get more opportunities, which, again, is that a statement about how the Packers used him, or is that he dealt with a bunch of injuries? When you say things like that, it perks people's ears up. So we'll get into that with Brian when we talk to him again next week. Hey, that poor guy's still standing at the door waiting for you to open the door, so we will let you go.
Oh, he's got a robot. Thanks. I don't know if you know, Brian's got a robot now that does all that in his house.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Bought
Theodore. I think he called him Theodore.
Jeeves. Yeah. Brian, we appreciate Mr. you, buddy. Jeeves, thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.